Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter number 1, and I'll read verse 17. We'll continue from the story that we read last week. Verse 17 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" Verse 17 again, "Then Jesus said, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" Shall we pray? Lord, as we go through your word again this morning, we ask that, Lord, you will breathe upon your word again. Let it come alive unto us. Lord, give us hearing ears and understanding heart. Lord, more importantly, Lord, give us the desire, the strength, the courage, the interest, and to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. I pray you anoint me afresh to be able to deliver your word in a way that is going to be clearly understood by your people, my brethren. I pray, O Lord, that both the speaker and the hearer will have been imparted by the reason of this word that is being shared, so that we will leave this place transformed more and more in the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name we've prayed. Amen. This morning, by the grace of God, I want to talk on Fishing 101. Fishing 101. Now, I've titled it that just to let us know that this is kind of a basic aspect of being a fisher of men, as Jesus will give the invitation to his disciples in Matthew chapter number 4 and, of course, in Mark chapter 1. So I'm preaching on Fishing 101. Now, we don't have the time to read what we read last week, but if you make reference to what we discussed last week, which was Matthew chapter number 4, when Jesus met with these people, met first with Andrew and Peter, and then later spoke to John and James, the sons of Zebedee, he gave them this instruction: "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And last week, we talked about what it means to follow. You know, we talked about the fact that follow does not necessarily mean just coming to church. We said follow means much more than that. We said follow will involve you leaving something. We said follow will also involve you learning something. And then we said follow will involve you longing to become something. So it's leaving, learning, and longing. But there is something I want us to pay our attention to today. That word from Jesus, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," contains three things. Two very clear, the third one is implied. The first one is an invitation. Follow me is an invitation. Follow me is an invitation. But it's not just an invitation that is contained in that statement. There is also a promise. "I will make you." "I will make you" is a promise. "Follow me" is an invitation, and that's a great invitation. Perhaps it's the greatest invitation that any man could ever have. "Follow me" is an invitation, and then "I will make you" is a promise. And like we said last week, the place to start is not to find out what to do. The place to start is to follow Jesus, is to be a follower, because only followers are made. The making is in the hand of the Lord, and he's the only one that can do the making. So it's a promise that he has given to us, and he has asked us, invited us in. "Follow me," and then is an invitation. "I will make you." In fact, the reason why I asked us to read the passage in the book of Mark is because of one singular word, and that word is "become." "I will make you become." Become. That word is very powerful because it talks about God making us into something that we were never. We never were in the past. So he's making us to become that thing. "Follow me" is an invitation. "I will make you" is a promise. But something that is not stated clearly in there, but that is implied, is the third component of this thing, which I refer to as the process. There is a process that is involved. So there is an invitation and there is a promise, but between the invitation and the promise is a process. There is a process involved in making us. Okay, so when Jesus invited us and then he has a plan, the plan is to make us fishers of men, in other words, disciples who make disciples. That's what that means. But there is a process, and that's why the Bible says he invited them to be with him, Mark chapter number 3, verse 14, so that he might send them out. The being with him is to prepare them. There is a process involved. Now, this process is not a one-day process. It's a gradual, continuous process. Some of us are still, in fact, it is expected that every one of us will continue to be in this kind of process at one level or the other. It's a process you will probably never graduate from. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to be productive as you go through the process, but it's a process, and process always involves time. Now, so between the invitation to come and the desire or the decision to send out, there is a process involved. And this is the process that I want us to focus more on today. Because this process involves two things. Number one, it involves the Jesus that is working on our heart. Jesus begins to walk in your heart in this course of process. Walk in your heart, you begin to desire and begin to develop the heart that longs to see souls saved. You know, this is somebody who has never cared about whether somebody gets saved or not. He just does his normal things like a regular secular person. But as the Lord begins to walk upon your heart, it begins to make sense to begin to feel. You begin to feel uncomfortable staying around people that are not saved. Not because you don't love them, but because you love them that you desire that they continue to be with you in eternity. And you know that at their current state, they are not. So that's the walking in the heart. It begins to affect the way you think and the perspective that you begin to have about life and about people. I told you last week that whenever I hear that somebody has died, the first thing that I think about is, I hope they made a decision for Christ. Now that was never my concern many years ago. When people die, they die, you know. But now it's a concern to me. Oh, I hope that person made a decision for Jesus. Why? Because I'm beginning to, by the grace of God, think, you know, at the level of eternity. I'm beginning to think about eternity, which is the heart of Jesus Christ. The heart of Jesus Christ is not just here and now. It's about eternity, because what we have here, our 60, 70, 80, 100 years, is just a speck, a tiny speck of what eternity is all about. So you begin to think at the level of eternity. Why? Because Jesus begins to walk in your heart, and which is part of the process. But that's not the only thing that Jesus does. He doesn't just walk in your heart. He also begins to use your hand. He begins to walk in your hand. Now, walking in your heart, I talk about that as meaning attitude. He begins to walk on your attitude. But Jesus does not just walk upon your attitude. He also begins to walk on your hand, which is your skill, you know, which is what I refer to as your approach. Your approach to wanting to do something about how you feel regarding this person or that person. Now, the four people that I said we should put down their names, there must be something that you're beginning to feel in your heart as you go through the process with the Lord Jesus Christ, as you begin to follow him. You begin to feel uncomfortable just seeing them going on their highway to hell, because you know that if they are not saved, they are lost forever. And that gives a concern to you. That gives you a concern. They are not bothered. They don't even care about it. But it gives a concern to you, because you begin to think at the level and at the impulse, at the frequency of the Lord Jesus Christ as he walks upon your heart. But that's not the only thing he does. He also begins to walk upon your hand. In other words, he begins to walk upon your skills, upon the way you approach things. Because let's face it, many of us, the reason why we're not getting as much result as we should be getting, or not getting result at all, is because our approach is bad. You know, the Bible says something about David in Psalm chapter 78, verse 72. He said, David shepherded them. Shepherded, talking about the children of Israel. He shepherded them with the integrity of his heart. and using the skillfulness of his hand. Psalm chapter 78, verse 72, please. Psalm 78, verse 72. He shepherded them with the integrity of his heart. He led them with the skillfulness of his hands. Now, those two things are very important because the heart is what the Lord works upon first. And that's what he says, according to the integrity of his heart, referring to David. And then the next verse says that, this same verse says, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So you see that the Lord works upon your heart first, so that you begin to feel him the way he feels about those people in your life. And then it goes to another level of working upon your hands so that you have some skill. Now, and then that begins to influence your approach. And that's actually the point I want to talk about briefly this morning within the time that we've got. The approach to actually, being involved in soul winning. What's the approach? How do we do it? Many of us actually desire to be involved, but we just don't have a clue. And that's why I'm glad that you are in church today, because that's exactly what I want us to talk about. And that's what I believe the Lord wants to impart you with today. The approach is important. Now, because we carry a very important message. This is the greatest message in the whole entire world. This is the greatest news that anyone can ever have. And that's the message we've got. It's the message of salvation, the message that Jesus came, died for your sin. You do not have to die a sinner. That's the greatest message that we've got. But how do we get the people that don't know the Lord to begin to know the Lord? Because this is the idea of the Lord, that found people should find people. Found people should find people. You and I, we have been found by the grace of God. If you're saved, you're born again, you have been found. How do you begin to find other people? Now, talking about the approach, it reminds me of the story of a young woman, Mary. She's got this very beautiful, adorable dog called Mimi. Now, Mary has just returned from her first year in the uni, and when she was away, apparently she gave Mimi to some family members to look after. But she came back after the first semester, and then she came back home. Now, but by the time Mary came back home after the first semester, she has completely changed as far as Mimi is concerned. Mimi feels that Mary has changed completely, because unlike before, Mary had now developed this idea every single day at a particular time of the day in the morning. She would get a spoon full of castor oil, and he would corner Mimi somewhere in the house and make sure that he grabbed Mimi, opened the mouth, and forcefully put in castor oil into the mouth of Mimi. Now, this continues to happen every day, and at a particular point in time, that particular hour of the morning, Mimi already knows when he hears the footstep of Mary in the house, that this is the time I'm going to be cornered, I'm going to be forcefully grabbed, opened, my mouth is going to be opened, and then castor oil is going to be poured into my mouth. And then that continued for a while. On this particular day, there was this struggle, the usual struggle. Mary was trying to get Mimi to open them out and just put the spoonful of castor oil down her throat. And then there was this struggling. As they were struggling with each other, Mimi accidentally kicked the jar of castor oil. The castor oil spilled over on the kitchen floor, and Mary had to abandon Mimi, quickly went into the laundry area to grab, a mop to mop the floor. To her surprise, by the time she came to the kitchen area, she actually saw Mimi, the dog, licking the castor oil on the kitchen floor. She was surprised because all the while she had thought that Mimi never loved to take castor oil. Now, the castor oil idea was given to her by her friends at uni. They have told her that it was a good idea to put castor oil in the dog's mouth just to help them cleanse their teeth and the gum, and to stay healthy by cleaning the gut. That's why she's been doing that. Now, but But right now, she now saw Mimi actually licking the castor oil. She never knew that Mimi actually loved castor oil. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been going through the trouble of having to, you know, grab her, open her mouth, and forcefully put the castor oil in her mouth in the first instance. Now, what does that mean? It means that sometimes the things that we're trying to shove into the throat of people and forcefully put it down there, they are actually things that people love. It's just that the approach has been bad. The approach has been bad all the while, and that's why there has been a struggle between Mimi and Mary. But if Mary had approached Mimi nicely, Mary would have got a better result, and they would have been both happy. Now, I went into that because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we've got is a great gospel. But we're probably not getting good results because our approach is bad. You know, our approach is bad, not really because we are bad people, but we are just not taught. We don't know how to approach it. We have great message, and because of the excitement of, look, you need to get this. And then we are opening people's minds and shoving it down their throat, you know. And people are like, look, if this is what you are going to be doing, then I'm not interested. Okay, and that's why I believe that we need to pay attention to what we have to say this morning, because this is just going to give us an idea of how we need to approach passing the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ unto others. Now, in doing that, I want you to open your Bibles, please, with me to Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians was written by Paul the Apostle to a group of believers in a town or a city called Colossae. Colossians chapter number 4. And I just want us to go through a few things that I believe is going to help your approach in fishing for men, in soul winning. Now, Colossians chapter number 4, I'll read from verse number 2. What do you do first when you want to, I will give you three major points. What's the first thing that you do when you want to minister the gospel to other people? Now, you see the four names that you have written before we started? How do you get the message of the Lord Jesus across to them in a way that is going to be acceptable to them? That's what we're going to be talking about here. It says in verse number 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. The first thing that you do in order to be able to pass the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to others is to pray. I know that's probably not, we're so excited to share this gospel that we don't want to have time to pray. but that's actually the reason why we fail a lot more than we actually succeed. The first thing we do is you need to pray. Talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. I'll say that again. You need to talk to God about people before you actually talk to people about God. In other words, you remember those names that you've written? Don't talk to them first without first talking to them. I'm talking to God about them. You pray first. Now, and what do you pray for? Look at what it says in verse number 2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Verse 3 says, meanwhile, praying also for us that God will open to us a door for the word. So what's the first thing that you pray for? Number one, you pray for open door. You pray for open door or open heart. That means opportunity. You and I need to first pray for an opportunity, the heart of the people to be open to what we're going to talk to them about. And I love the word open door. You know, because when we are coming to people, we're coming to people to give them a message. It's like you want to enter into somebody's house, okay? When you want to enter into somebody's house and the door is not open, but you are trying to get yourself and to enter into that house, we call that something. We call that breaking in. And nobody likes breaking in into his house. So the first thing that you and I need to do is to pray for an open door. Lord, open the heart of so-and-so for the message of the gospel. The first thing is pray for opportunity and open door. Number two, what do you pray for? You pray for utterance. You pray for utterance. Now, you know, Paul was writing in this place to Colossians, but he wrote exactly the similar passage or a similar letter to the people in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter number 6. Interestingly, we read this passage when we were praying this morning, when Nikki was leading us in the pre-service prayer. It says this, Ephesians chapter number 6, look at verse number 19. Let's read from verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This is what we pray about. Apart from the praying for open door, Lord, open the heart of this person. Lord, open their mind. Let them be receptive to the word. The next thing we pray for is utterance. Utterance be given unto you. In Colossians, he also used the word clarity, that you may clearly declare in verse number 4. Colossians chapter number 4, verse 4, it says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. To make it manifest, another translation says to make it clear, to declare it clearly. You know, utterance is important. Why is it so? Because if you have a great message and you don't speak correctly, you don't give it in the right way, it's going to be misinterpreted and it may not actually be received. So you pray for an open door, but you also pray for yourself that utterance may be given to you. Utterance just talk about the Lord giving you the right words to use at every point in time. Ministering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to people is not a casual secular thing. It's a spiritual thing. Even though the medium of communication is usually in the context of, you know, just having some casual discussion. But the message itself is nothing casual because it's a message of life. So there must be clarity, there must be utterance given to you to be able to communicate the message to the person. So you pray for the open door for you to be able to share the gospel, but you also pray that God gives you utterance. The final thing that you need to pray about is that the Lord will give you courage or boldness. Look at what he says in the Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 19. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. To make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20 says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So there is need for us to pray for the courage or the boldness to be able to speak unto these people. Many of the times, you know, I don't know what about you, but there have been times where you actually feel like there is an open door. You know, you are in the office or you are in the class and you are having a chat to somebody and it seems as there is an open door for you to actually talk about Jesus, you know. But like, before you even finish thinking about that thought, 100 things have come like, oh, I'm not good enough, you know. There is a timidity that sets in. There is a fear. What if? You know, what if? You know, what if I don't say it right? You know? So there is a lack of courage. There is a lack of boldness. You're not able to articulate, so you just leave it to, and let's just keep talking about sport, or let's keep talking about the weather. You know, not because there is no word, not because the door is not open, not even because you don't know what to say, but just because there is just this fear in your heart. So it's important that the Lord, you pray that the Lord will give you boldness and courage to be able to communicate the word of life, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to other people. So those are the three things that I would like you to pray about. And make this a regular thing that you do, you know, especially as you think about these people in your life, because it is important that the message of the Lord Jesus Christ get across to them. One other thing I need to say before we move on from there is to know the fact that when you pray for people and when you pray for open doors for people, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are the one that is actually going to be walking through that door. It doesn't necessarily also mean that you are the one that is going to be preaching to them in that sense. For instance, if you are even praying for somebody who is not around in Australia or perhaps not in Perth, You're not probably going to have contact with them, but should that stop you from praying? No. No, because the most important thing is for them to hear the word. Most important thing is for their hearts to be open. And you don't have to be the vehicle of communicating that word to them. So that still doesn't stop you from speaking or from praying for them, because by reason of distance, you don't have physical contact with them. So pray for an open door. You will remember that some of you probably did not receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ the first day you heard it. Why? Because your heart was not open. Your heart was not open. The first day I had, when I gave my life to Christ, was not the first day I heard about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But somehow, my heart was open for some reason at that point in time. Why? I believe that somebody somewhere, and I don't know who the person was, must have been praying for me that my heart becomes open to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as soon as I came into that place, the heart was prepared. I was willing, you know. I remember a young man that I met many years ago when we were in the uni, and this man was, you know, we used to refer to them as hard guys, you know, hard guys. Hard guys means these guys are tough, you know. They are the tough guys on campus, you know. And then he came into one of our meetings. I wasn't the one preaching that day, but as soon as I saw him coming in, I already made up my mind. This guy was just coming to waste our time in church today, you know. But as soon as the guy that was preaching, you know, the young man that was preaching finished, the message was really bad, you know. The message was really, really bad, you know. As in, from my own stand, I was just judging that. What's this guy talking about, you know? And he gave an altar call. Will you believe that this man, the hard guy, you know, actually came out to receive Jesus? And I was like, if this man is going to be born again, he shouldn't be under this kind of poor preaching. You know, I mean, how can you get born again under this kind of preaching? You know, but God had already prepared the heart of, even if an hand were to talk that day, this guy was going to get born again. Why? Because his heart was prepared. And that's what I'm talking about. So we pray for open doors, we pray for utterance, and we also pray for boldness. So apart from praying, what is the other approach that we need to make as we begin to get our hands, you know, trained by the Lord Jesus Christ? Number two, befriend people. Befriend people. Now, what that means is that you make friends with people, or to be friendly towards someone, as you begin to trust the Lord to give you open doors. Now, verse number 4 of look at Colossians chapter number 4. We're still in Colossians chapter number 4. Look at what it says in verse 5. It says this: walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. What does that mean? Walk in wisdom towards those. And I love that. You know, because the word walk means that you are taking a step. You are trying to deliberately make effort. And it says towards. So you are walking towards a person to make friends with them. That doesn't mean that they are the best friend that you've got. Because if the Bible was talking about best friend, it would have used walking with. You know, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be in agreement? In other words, can two be friends? Can two be at the same level? Except they are in agreement. So the walking here is walking towards. And he uses the word for those who are outside. Do you see that? In verse number 5, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Now, outside does not mean outside in the cold, you know. It's not a literal meaning. It's metaphorical. It means they are outside the faith. They are outside the church. They are outside what we believe. They don't share our faith. They don't share our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they are outside. And the fact that they are outside, that's what I'm saying is, outside does not necessarily mean physical. You can be in the same room with somebody who is outside. Outside is a spiritual, there is a detachment from the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, take a walk towards them, befriend them, be their friend. And this is very important to many of us, because we are in a society, our world has turned into a world where people don't naturally want to befriend other people. Now, I have noticed this a lot of time working in my practice, When people come into the reception room, the first thing that I can tell you exactly how people move, you know, the first thing to do they do is that they go to the reception table and they confirm that they have an appointment with the doctor or whatever. And then they, you know, they usually set the reception and they put some things to read and all those things. And people go and sit down. You know the next thing people do as they are waiting? Phone. They bring out their phone. Now, I can tell you that many of the time it's not because they actually have something important to check on the phone. It's just to cut off any engagement with anyone. Come on, you do it, don't you? Why are you doing as if you don't? You know, you just create your own world for yourself. And the same thing when you go into anywhere, we just have this idea. And unfortunately, because we spend so much time with electronics, we have lost the heart, the simple heart of engaging with people, you know, of interacting with people. We can't even talk to people looking at their face. You know, that's how bad our electronics, and that's why people have a lot of, they have a 1 million friends on social media, and they don't have any friend to actually talk to physically. You know, because they have immersed themselves into that. We need to work extra hard in our generation to actually engage with people. He said, befriend them. Why? Because this is important. Why do you have to befriend them? Because spiritual things have been considered personal things. Spiritual matters are considered personal matters. And you don't share personal things with people that you don't know. You don't share personal things with people that are strangers. You share personal things with people that you are comfortable with. And you're comfortable with them because there has been a relationship of some sort that has been ongoing. You know, I mean, take for instance, you're going to take a plane from here, you're going to take a flight from here to Sydney. And as you went in to sit there, you sat beside another gentleman, and the plane took off, and just maybe about 5-10 minutes into your flight, the guy looks into your hand and he saw a ring. Oh, and he looks, oh, hi mate, are you married? You said, yeah, I am. You know, I am. And then the next thing the guy is going to ask is, right, can you tell me about your love life? You know? What are you going to say? Wow. You just don't discuss such things with a stranger. I don't even know you. How can I be talking about my love life with a complete stranger? Exactly the same way it is. Spiritual things are considered personal things. You don't share those things with people that you don't have relationship with. And that's why it's so difficult for people to engage with. I mean, you can't just be going on the street. I know that God works in miraculous ways, and there have been things that people that are complete strangers have had to share with people that they have never met, and they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But those are exceptions. It's not the rule. The rule is that you share. People open up to you because they have confidence that you are their friends. And that's why it is incumbent on you as a believer to build bridges, not cut them off. And that's why it says walk towards those who are outside. Walk towards those who are outside. An incident happened about a week ago. I went to pick my daughter after a particular dance, whatever. And I was sitting beside another man. Now, what I have done over the years, over time, is look, I take advantage of every single time, you know. So every of my time, I'm thinking about something. I'm thinking about, you know, because if I'm not at work, if I'm outside of work, I'm already thinking about church. I'm thinking about the group. I'm talking about counseling that person. I'm receiving information. I baptize myself in the world of information, you know, about the things that will help me to sharpen myself as the preacher of the gospel. You know, because I know I have majorly I have two responsibilities for this church, for instance. To shepherd this church, I need to pray for this church, and I need to provide a platform for quality word of God for this church. And quality word of God does not just drop from the sky in 2 minutes. It takes engaging with the Spirit of the Lord. It takes searching the scriptures. Okay, so every time I have an opportunity in my car, I'm already listening to something that will help me, that will sharpen me in my responsibility. So I was in this place, you know, because I was going to wait for 10 minutes, okay, so I just, oh, there is a word, a great word here, let me listen to this podcast, you know, it's going to help me in what I'm going to do, you know, and it was just like the prompting of the Spirit. There was a young man beside me, and he's like, why don't you even talk to people these days? You know, why? What's wrong with you? Why don't you talk to him? And I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I just wanted to prepare, you know. You know, because that's been my world. I mean, and if you don't engage with people, you don't have an opportunity to share the gospel. I'm not saying that you need to share the gospel the same way you are engaging, because engaging with people takes time. Relationship takes time to build. People must need to have confidence that you are actually interested in them before they begin to open up to you, to talk to you. So what I'm saying to you, people of God, is befriend people. Don't be this crazy Christian that does not have friends. If they have parties for their kids, go. Don't check the register whether they are born again or not before you go. You know, because they are people, they are friends. The Lord wants you to reach them. I hope they don't put it on Sunday morning, you know. You know, that's going to be something that you have to watch out for, you know, because we now have, you know, Sunday morning worship and parties and birthdays now. But you get what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that we need to engage people. We need to genuinely love people. Many of us in our society, we don't even know the name of our neighbors. We don't even know them if we were to meet them outside of being, you know, around the house. That's the natural thing that we don't, you know. It's unfortunate, but that's the reality, you know. And that's why we have in a society, you know, people being dead for weeks without even anybody getting to know about them, you know. So what I'm saying is let's get to interact with people. Let's get to befriend people. Now, befriend does not make them your best friend. It doesn't make them your BFF. It just means that you care for them, you know. And as I was sitting there, I said, oh, Lord, but what am I going to talk to this man about? I don't even know him. And I saw his keys was sticking out. Part of the bunch of keys was sticking out from the pocket. I said, we can talk to him about that. I said, hello, hi. You know, your keys are sticking out. They are about to drop. And he said, oh, yeah, sorry about that. And for the first time, I actually heard his voice. And his voice was friendly, but his look was not friendly. You know, you see what I'm talking about? You know, there are some looks that, you know, oh, this guy, oh, lost forever. You know, that kind of a thing, you know. But until you engage with people, you don't get to know them. And from that point in time, there has been some level of, you know, interaction. Now when we see, unlike before, when he passes, I passes this way, when we see each other, we gaze, we say hello, we say, how are you doing, and all those. And that's how you build things, you know. Such a person, at some point, you may be able to talk to them and share the gospel, but if you never build relationship, that opportunity may never come. Jesus always built relationship. Jesus, in John chapter 4, was hungry. The Bible says he was weary, but he still created time to be able to engage with that woman. And it was in the course of their engagement that Jesus was able to meet, you know, our deepest needs, which is for the water of life. So, number one, don't forget, pray for people. Number two, befriend them. Number three, and this is where we're going to round off, speak to people. You know what the Bible says in verse number six? Let your speech always be with grace. Let your speech always be with grace. Now that you have prayed for them, now that you have created some relationship with them, some rapport with them, you are on the lookout for an opportunity to rise up for you to talk to them. Make sure you don't miss that opportunity when it arises. It says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. You know, this speech does not just mean talking. It means that creating an environment for them to begin, inviting them to make a decision. It covers that. Invite them to make a decision. That may mean, you know, sharing a track. Oh, mate, I saw this track and I read it. It was good. Would you like to read? You can only do that to somebody that you have been talking to before, not a complete stranger. Of course, people give tracks to strangers. But you know that more than 90%, I don't have statistics, I'm just putting this out of my head, of tracks that you give to strangers are actually thrown into the next bin, you know, because they don't think you care about them. Like people say, people don't care how much you know until you know how much you care. And that's the truth. So when you give a tract to a friend, there is more likelihood that the friend will read than if you give it to a complete stranger. Now, That's not to say you should never give a tract to a complete stranger. I'm just making a point that speaking after you have built bridges and after you have made relationship, built on that relationship, is easier for you to be able to make a communication about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure you speak when the opportunity arises. Don't forget you have already prayed for an opportunity. You've prayed for courage. You've prayed for utterance. Then there is an opportunity. Speak the word. You know, it also covers inviting people to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, inviting them to church. It's part of you being an evangelist, inviting them to church. Look, what are you doing on Sunday? Oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to lie down. Oh, yeah, well, I attend this church. I mean, it's a great church, and I'm sure you will like it, you know. And then you bring them to church, you know. And then when they come to church, you introduce them to people. Most importantly, you may need to introduce them to the pastor. I mean, this is not a big church that you can't find the pastor, you know. You can grab the pastor and say, this is my friend. I've just brought him for the first time. He just wants to say hello to you. That's it. Because connecting people with the people in church is part of you immersing them into a milieu, as it were, of salvation. They don't have to get saved that day. You don't want to be walking out of the door and say, did you get saved or not? Oh, I wasted my time bringing you today because you didn't get saved. No. You are immersing them into that milieu of salvation. They are getting to know that there are people. And many people don't think that we are real people. They think we are crazy people. So when they bring them, they I can touch him. Oh, I can feel him. He talks like me. He's not really a weirdo. No, that kind of a thing. Because you have brought them to church and you will break that chain and that barrier. There are people in our community in their 20s and 30s who have never been to church before. So you can help break that barrier. And that's not the only thing. You can actually speak to them, preach the word to them. Somebody say, what do I do? You preach the Bible. You know, I am of the opinion that every single believer must at least have a 2-minute message of salvation that you don't have to think too much about to talk to people. Now, imagine somebody you were walking down the street tomorrow and somebody came to you and said, look, I've heard so much about your Jesus. Would you like to tell me about him? What are you going to do? Oh, just wait. Today is Monday. On Sunday, I will take you to church and then we can meet pastor. How crazy is that? You get what I'm talking about? 2 minutes. What are you going to talk about? All of us, every man is lost forever. You know, man is eternally separated from God. But God has an answer. Because he wanted to bring man to himself, he sent the son Jesus. That son Jesus came and he died for the sin of man, including you. Today, you can actually receive him as your Lord and Savior. How difficult is that? I will lead you into prayer of salvation right here, right now. Say, really? Yes, right here, right now. I can lead you into that. I say, Heavenly Father, I've come to you. I'm a sinner. I've come to you today. I recognize that you came, you died for me to save me from my sin. Right now, I receive you as my Lord. Right now, I've confessed you as my Savior. I renounce the life of sin. I will follow you all the days of my life. You don't need to say it nicely. You know, the Bible says, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It doesn't have to sound exactly like the way the pastor will preach it or say it. They don't measure the gravity of how many scriptures there are in that word or the phrase that the man says or the woman says. It's just the heart. The heart believes, it says it with his mouth. Finish. Whatever language or whatever, you can even make grammatical errors. You know that? Even in what you have asked the guy to say. They're not going to check tenses in heaven before they register him. You understand what I'm talking about? It's just, I'm saying that to provoke your heart to make you know that it's not as difficult as you thought it was. It's never as difficult. We are the ones that make curriculums out of salvation. Jesus didn't give any particular curriculum that you have to go through before you are saved. Believe in your heart, confess it. Somebody leads you into that, you are saved. And then you cannot begin to talk about church. What are you going to do on Sunday? I will take you to my church. Because now that you are saved, you need to be immersed into the midst of believers. And then we will begin to teach you. And you begin to grow in the faith. That's the way it goes. I'm saying that you can say, look, God is going to embarrass you somehow because some people are going to say that they are ready to be saved and then you are not ready to get them saved. Or you're not ready to lead them into salvation. to use the right word, because you don't get anyone saved. You can't even get yourself saved. You know? To encourage you, people of God, years ago, and you don't, somebody says, what do I say to them when I want to preach to them? If you don't have anything to say, just share your story. Are you saved? Yes. How did you get saved? Share that story. It doesn't have to be fantastic. I mean, some people think, oh, when I open my heart and then the heavens open and then a dove came. It doesn't have to be that way. How many people get saved that way? Not many. I mean, I didn't see any flashes. I didn't see anything. It was straightforward. No, I was going to go to church this morning. I had a particular church I was going to go. The church was already closed. I was going back to my hostel, and a lady met myself and my friend and said, would you guys like to come to church? I was going to say no. My friend said, oh, how can you say no to this beautiful girl? Let's follow her, you know? And we went to church. And we went to church, and the preacher preached the same thing I've had many, many times in the past, but this time it was different. I was just 17. I gave my life to Jesus Christ that day. My friend did not. Said I would do it next week. I don't know whether his next week has arrived, you know? Now, it wasn't anything dramatic. That is what I can share with anyone. That's the way I got saved. So what happened to you after you got saved? Oh, these are the things. And you don't have to lie about the things that have changed, because getting saved does not mean that everything gets sorted. No. But definitely there must be changes in your life. You share that with a person. Share your story. That's what is called witnessing. You know, many years ago, I was in a particular room, and I was talking to a young man, and as we were talking about this, and I started sharing my story, I started sharing the little I know about the Bible, you know, about the scriptures, about the gospel, because I knew close to nothing. You know, I was just a few years in the Lord, and I didn't know exactly how to do it. And after we had this conversation, you know, I just jokingly said, so are you going to now give your life to Christ? And I got the shock of my life. Then the young man looked at me and said, yes. I said, I'm in trouble. Why did I ask that question? You know, because I wasn't prepared to lead anyone. I just wanted to tick the box and say, I preached to somebody this week. And he said, yes. I said, oh, really? Not now? He said, yes. You know, and I led the young man to the Lord. Because God is much more prepared and ready if we will just give him the opportunity. Now, I'll round up with this. I know I've spoken a lot. Imagine yourself walking down the street tomorrow. And as you're walking down the street, you lifted up your eyes. You saw this family at the front area of their house. They're having a nice time. You know, they're watching TV, but the door was shut, you know, but you could see through, you know, the glass that they are watching some very interesting movie, you imagine, because they were laughing and giggling and having a nice time. Beautiful family. And look behind the house. All of a sudden, you saw that there is this fire, you know, the smoke's going everywhere. Now, this family had no clue that that was going on. Now, what are you going to do? It's in the same, you know that it's going to take a short while for this house to engulf, I'm sorry, for this fire to engulf the whole house. It has not gotten to where they are. They have no clue of what was going on. What are you going to say? Are you going to say, oh, yeah, well, they won't like me disturbing their time. You know, they're having a great time together as a family. They might even be mad at me if I knock at the door and tell them that there is fire in the house, you need to evacuate immediately. Or are you going to say, look, it doesn't really matter. I need to save the life of these people. They don't have a clue that they are going to be engulfed. This house is going to be engulfed in fire in a few minutes. So I need to knock their door. If they're not opening their door, I need to break down the door and tell them to come out now. What are you going to do? Of course, you're going to do the latter, because you need to save a life. You need to save a life. Many of us are being careful to share the message of the salvation because we are concerned that they may not like it. We're concerned that they may not be happy with it. But think about it. That man, that woman in your life and in my life, their house is being engulfed. The fire is going to get across to them. The message of salvation is not a message to upgrade the life of the people. It's a rescue mission. It's to save them from eternal damnation, complete separation from God. So it's more important that we have taken it. And I do not intend that this message will be to condemn you that you have taken that stance of, well, it's just an upgrade of the life of people. I just want to challenge you that you carry a great message, The world needs that message, and the Lord depends on you to convey that message of life to those four people whose name that you have mentioned or that you have stated and you've written down and beyond. The Lord needs you in his world to rescue the world that is going on his highway to hell. The Lord bless you. Shall we pray?